see. Is that going?
Yeah.
Good.
Okay.
We're up and running already. Now I'm going to preach from down here this morning just because everyone's a bit dispersed and it just reduces the gulf, you know, between me and you guys. And we have the dudes in with us this morning because Karen and I lead dudes, and we've been preparing for this morning's sermon in dudes for the last few weeks. And so it's basically like you guys are part of the dudes this morning. Rather than dudes being part of us, you guys are part of dudes this morning. As we talk a little bit about what we've been discussing the last few weeks, and I've kind of named this sermon just simply a single word with a question, everything? Everything? And what I'd like to do is do a bit of verse building. Take a little bit of a verse and build it front and back until we get the full verse, but just to get the full impact. You know how, wouldn't you love to be able to read the Bible now for the first time with the understanding that you have, to approach it for the first time and get rid of all the kind of buffering and all the desensitization you've had for years and years, and to read it and get it, receive it as if for the first time would be so fantastic. I'm hoping by breaking this verse up a bit, you might kind of see this verse for the first time. You may not be that familiar with it anyway, because it's not in one of the kind of high rotation parts of Scripture. But the dudes got together and did the first bit of this for you. Everything we need. Everything we need. This is part of a verse in Scripture. And I guess if I was to say to you, look, I'm here to provide for you this morning everything you need, what would be the top? What would be the top of your list if I said, I can give you anything? Anything you need, what would it be? Food. Food. Yeah, actually, we had a few of the dudes saying that too. More food. I won't tell the parents which kids said this, but some could do with more food. Morgan came straight and said money. He wanted more money. He needed money. Anything else on your list of needs that if you would request, if you could request, if you were promised everything you need, what would you say I could really do with?
Time.
Isn't it amazing, this whole time poor thing? All the time you hear this thing, we're time poor. I'm thinking, never in history have we had more discretionary time than we have now. And yet we're convinced we're time poor. I reckon it's a kind of like a conspiracy, a poverty conspiracy on us to make us feel like we're time poor. We've never had more time to do what we want, but we fill it with stuff, of course. What else would you ask for if you could be given everything you need? That's it. Food, money, time. All problems solved. Satisfaction. Well, that gets us into, which you may have been familiar with at some point in your life anyway, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, that goes through the kind of things that this guy Maslow decided we need and the hierarchy of them. And his belief that the ones up further up the scale are no use to you until you've got to build on the foundation of the bottom. If you don't have the things at the bottom, the things at the top aren't going to mean anything to you. So at the bottom we have air, food, water, shelter, clothing, sleep. So there goes the food one. Safety and security needs, health, employment, property, family, stability. Then love and belongingness needs, friendship, family, intimacy and connections. Self-esteem needs, confidence, achievements, respect of others, connections, etc. And then at the top, self-actualization, which I actually don't say I fully very much understand at all. Morality, creativity, spontaneity, acceptance. I kind of understand where it sits in the chain, but I mustn't have achieved much of that because I kind of don't understand it very well. But just this morning I was reading in The Age that there's a guy coming to Melbourne, an 80-year-old man, who's just published a book. And he has for 50 years been in charge of a study started at Harvard in 1938, so it was begun by the time he started, looking at men's longevity, contentment and health, and what makes for a content male. And what he discovered, so they followed a single group of men over 75 years, which just is the most amazing idea. And what they've discovered is even into late middle age, the most important factor for a healthy, happy, content existence is a loving mother. Isn't that incredible? And that beyond that point, the love of your father, starts to kick in as a greater influence. You know, I mean, they know they kind of draw these conclusions, and you wonder how. But they say that looking at men who were content and happy up until upper middle age, it was the love of the mother as the single most consistent thing. So we all have this. We all have these needs, as described by Maslow. And to go back to our verse, we might just add a few things. Everything, we start again with our everything we need. Everything we need for life, this verse says. Everything we need for life. And that's the kind of stuff we've been talking about. So it would seem everything we need for life. But the verse adds another bit. Everything we need for life and godliness. It says life and godliness. So it acknowledges both, thankfully. Some versions, this is from the NIV, and this is how I learned it, how many years ago I had learned this as a memory verse, but it now says for a godly life, but all the other versions all separate and say life and godliness as two separate things. So if we had to go back to Maslow's triangle and add what we need for godliness on top of what we need for life, what kind of things? I actually kind of wondered what, I struggled to think, what do you think you would need for godliness? Your perception of godliness, what do you think you'd need? A call. Someone's wanting to make an external contribution to the discussion. I better turn mine off too, actually, while we're at it, Margaret. What would you add for godliness on top of your Maslow's triangle of full life? Yeah.
Revelation.
Revelation. Yeah, we would certainly need an element of revelation to get from just what you need for life to a place of what you need for godliness. Fuck. Discipleship. Actually, that's a really good point. The idea of kind of having someone to draw you into that place and to teach you into that place. A relationship with God. That'd be good. I was thinking, you've got to have an opportunity to have heard. Yeah. So you've got to, so in that sense, it's kind of the revelation of the need. You've got to have a perception of the need. You've got to have a relationship with God and probably relationships with others to draw you via discipleship into godliness. And all of those things to me are about creating like some experience of transformation, some sort of transformational experience. For everything we need for life and godliness. Now, I'll just check my notes and see where I'm. Okay. So we add a little bit more to this verse, because so far we're not sure what everything we need's got to do with anything. But if we go to the next, to our next accumulated, slightly out of focus slide, see if you can recognise your child. So we have everything we need, again, as our central pivotal point. Thanks, Nelson, for pushing those down nicely there. Has given us everything we need. So now it kind of starts to get to be exciting, because we find out that there's a couple of things. Has given us everything we need. Has means past tense, has, it's happened. We have been given, and given being the pivotal point as well, given everything we need. So has, past tense, it's happened, and given, it's a gift. Has given us everything we need for life and godliness. So the only question is who, or how, or what, you know, who is the subject here, or, and of course it doesn't take too much to guess, but you may not guess the exact wording. I had to do a bit of filling in there. It wasn't dark enough to read. You still may not be able to read it. Oh, yes, you can. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And the question is, do we believe the Bible or not? do we believe? We generally don't live as if we believe this to be true. It challenges everything we kind of have grown up with and everything we understand about our world, to believe that His divine power has given us everything we need for life and for godliness. It's in our hands. Anyone from my age, although Karen remembers this too and she's a few years younger than me, so let's say anyone from about 40 over, and you dudes probably would not relate to this at all, but anyone about my age up will understand that we kind of grew up with a God kind of with the angle of God saying, do you know, do you realise how lucky you are? You didn't deserve anything and I gave up my son for you, and so you'd better live as if you're grateful of that. And you'd really... you're already so lucky. If you, it's not really right of you to be asking for anything else. You should just be live in gratefulness of the fact that I gave up my son to save you, and that's more than you deserve. And you'd better just remember that it's more than you deserve. He was a merciful God, and His act of love only went so far as necessary to create this merciful response, this response from us out of mercy. That's what we grew up in. And so it's rather a challenge then to have verses like, we'll skip that. This from Psalm 36, verse 7 and 8, that says, both high and low among men, so everybody, both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of your wings. Now I'm comfortable with that. My generation's comfortable with refuge. We're not so comfortable with the next bit. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights. It's way more than a God waggling his finger and going, you better be just grateful for all I've done for you. It's way more. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights. So when people from my generation read, he's given me everything I need, we went, yeah, he's given me everything I need. Just my basic needs. The bottom little foundation thing. But now what I'm reading is, he's given me everything I need. Everything in abundance. I can feast on the abundance of his house. There's so many verses like this, and this reflects exactly what Mark was praying this morning when he was praying for us. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. That really wasn't the God I grew up with. Or if I did, we saw it in the most narrow, little, mean kind of way. And this one, which I just think is so just devastatingly amazing, really. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? I don't know how my generation read that. He probably was waggling his finger. You know, he didn't spare his own son. You know, and we would have made it into something kind of punitive. And instead he's saying, God's saying, if I've given up my son for you, for heaven's sake, what wouldn't I do for you? If I've given up my son for you, no amount is too much. If that's the measure of my love, no amount is too much. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously, not meanly, not reluctantly, not mercifully, you know, out of, I kind of promised it when I gave Jesus on the cross, I'd better hand that over as well. Graciously give us all things. It's amazing. So, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and for godliness. So why is it that our experience kind of falls short from that? I'm interested. The verse continues, but unfortunately the dudes... That took us 3 weeks to do, can you believe? So we've got to add some other stuff. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him. Now I knew this verse for... I learned this as a kid, and it's only recently I went, through our knowledge of him, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. It's all in an account. It's all placed in a bank account with your name on it. It's all there. Everything you need for life and godliness. through our knowledge of him. And it continues on. That's only a partial sentence. But in looking up what this word knowledge actually means in Scripture, it only appears in one other time. And it refers to, the word means full discernment or recognition. And in any other, compared to any other word used for knowledge, it implies a much greater participation by the owner in the object known. So basically, I would say that one of the best ways of interpreting this is he's given us everything we need for life and godliness through our closeness, our recognition, our intimacy with him. That it's all there in an account, it's all ready to be drawn down on, and the only limiting factor is our knowledge of him and what's in our bank account. It's incredible. Through our knowledge of him, who called us by his own glory and goodness, not our glory, not our goodness, who called us by his own glory and goodness. Now, there's a big bit of verse in the middle here, which we'll just run on through and kind of skip on through. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises. And then this is where it gets juicy. So that through them, so the things that he's given us, we may participate in the divine nature. See? And it goes on, I'll come back to it. And escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. That bit my generation can cope with. That's what he did. That's why he died. So that we can escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. But to have to face the fact that he's given us everything we need so that we may participate in the divine nature is just extraordinary to me. So what he's given us goes so far beyond what we need for salvation. He's given us everything we need to participate in the divine nature, to partner with him. And even that was not an act of mercy. That is an act of love, that he would give us this stuff so that we might participate. Again, my generation misinterprets this and above and sees that, therefore, this points to my failure, that he's given me everything to participate and that I'm failing to participate and that this is a measure of my failure and how I don't live up to it. And he's saying, no, I wanted to participate. I wanted to give you the opportunity to participate for your blessing, not because I needed it. I wanted you to participate with me because I wanted you to know what it was like to work like me. I've made you in my image, and I've given you everything you need for life and godliness so that you may participate in the divine nature as well as escape the corruption of the world. That's the entry level. I want to participate in the divine nature with him. So this is either true or it's not. And I think it's safe to say that most of you are sitting here because you fundamentally believe the scripture to be true, and you're therefore cornered into the fact that this is true. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And I just put it to you, how does it make a change to the way you live today, to believe that you have in your hands, in your bank account, everything you need for life and for godliness? I'd like to pray for us to better understand and to better encounter, by the knowledge and intimacy, I guess, that which is in our account this morning. I'd like to pray for those, and we probably, all of us, to some extent, carry a sense of shame. I'm really struggling with the idea when I read this stuff and bathe myself in it, that my failure to live up to that, to demonstrate this becomes bigger to me, and the sense of shame associated with that becomes bigger than the sense of forgiveness and my desire to grow up, so that the desire is somewhat tainted by the shame of not having achieved. I think, and I'm 50, I'm going, what have I done for the Lord so far? What have I really achieved for him? I,
I would have loved to have been far in advance of what I currently am, and I'm not. But I can't let that stop me. That can actually get in the way of me going, no, I've got so... The best is yet to come. The biggest and the best. The participation in the divine nature is just from here on, it's growing daily. So let's just pray. Just pray. What a stupid thing to say. There's nothing just about it, is there? Father God, you, in sending Jesus, open up an opportunity for us to know you as Daddy, as Abba Father, as a Daddy God. And a Daddy God which, according to Scripture, has given us every last minute, single, subtle, extravagant, amazing thing that we need for life and godliness. We accept it now. We accept the truth of that now. Lord, if your scripture says we feast on the abundance of your house, we expect a feast. We know that you're not an orphanage manager who would just give us the minimal, a little cot, and a couple of meals of gruel a day. You want us to feast on the abundance of your house and drink from your river of delights. And you, via the death of your Son, have given us, graciously given us everything we need into an account with our name on it. Lord, we need to know you more. We need to see you more. We just so long for the intimacy, for greater intimacy to unlock that which you died to provide. Lord, I know there are people this morning who feel really desperately in need of some really basic things. There's all sorts of stuff awry. We know that you're more than adequate for the task, and we pray, Lord, that you will meet that need so extravagantly. Lord, we know there are those who are just hungering for more of you and just for a closer walk. Lord, I pray that at every level of need, you will show yourself as being the provider, the ultimate, the giver of everything we need for life and godliness, so that we may participate in your divine nature. What an incredible gift from you. Stretch us, Lord. Stretch our knowledge of you. Stretch our understanding of you and our grasp of you. Lord, we want to draw down new things from this account today and tomorrow and Tuesday, each day. Learn and understand more and more what's in our account, paid for at such a high price, and wield and use and know every part of it to honour the sacrifice that you provided, that you willingly gave in order that we might be able to stand in this place. We just want to thank you so much. Amen.